An open standard to bring 3D to web, desktop, and mobile applications. So here you go.
Thank you very much. Thanks. So I did a show of hands, and I see that not a whole lot of people know about I3S. So I guess let's get started. What is I3S? Index 3D Scene Layers is a standard. It's an OGC standard that allows you to stream large amounts of 3D geospatial data, both to the web, desktop, and mobile systems. I3S was designed from the get-go to be cloud, web, and mobile friendly. It's based on JSON, REST, and binary protocols so that optimization as well as readability are not sacrificed. Yes, you know, coordinate systems are very key for geospatial systems, and I3S supports both Cartesian and whole earth coordinate systems, as well as vertical coordinate systems. And you might have seen some data set that have been offset by, you know, 30 meters, especially in Europe or so, because some applications don't consider vertical coordinate system. So I3S also from the get-go considered both horizontal as well as vertical coordinate system and specified it in the standard what it supports for ease of use. The standard is expandable to accommodate different data types and access patterns. And I3S was released by Esri in 2015. We released it as an open GitHub community specification. It was released under Apache 2.0 license. And then OGC in the fall of 2017, we started the process earlier than that, but started adapting it as an OGC standard, and it became actually an OGC community standard in the fall of 2017. It's a mature standard, and as I said, the more evolving, more fastly changing version is available at the GitHub community version, whereas the more mature community standard maintained by OGC is available at the OGC site. Currently, the OGC version is at 1.0, whereas the I3S 1.0 corresponding to the 1.6 version of the I3S in the GitHub community, and the GitHub community has already evolved. So OGC has this nice process for community standards where only a mature and widely adopted standard would be adopted. So if we add a new layer type, or if somebody proposes in the community for adding a new layer type, it has to be implemented in the community, and there has to be evidence of implementation before it could become a standard. And we'll see a few examples of those. So we already talked about this. Mature at OGC, the link above there, I3S version, you can grab it. And then the evolving, more up-to-date version is at the GitHub community version, maintained primarily by Esri. So just to lay it out here, anyone can use it, I3S for free. It's Apache 2.0. You can read and write I3S content as well as display it. And you can also propose change, and new patterns of usage can also be proposed to the standard. Now let's talk a little bit about the technology. Sorry, the graphics might not be the best, but it's better on the laptop. I3S really, the central topic or central premise of I3S is this organization of geospatial data using a hierarchical bounding volume hierarchy, node-based spatial structure. So what that means is as a consuming client application, there will be this metadata information, the nodes that you'd be able to access first. And then based on the, say, level of detail that you are rendering, you'd be able to select content and prioritize content and be able to display it on your screen very efficiently without really needing to traverse the whole content. So the whole idea is centered around this bounding volume hierarchy, multi-level of detail, organization of data, input data that it could be fed to a cooker or a data organizer. Now, I3S defines, okay, this one didn't proceed, but on my slide it has, so let me try again. All right. So, again, apologies for the graphics on the display, but the concept here is that I3S is agnostic to the data partitioning scheme used. You can use KD trees, sparse oak trees, quad trees, whatever you might want, as long as it's reflected in the node index structure, then the consuming client does not need to know the complexity of how that data was built. And this is key and central to, you know, this massive mesh data streaming techniques, that the client just obeys and traverses this, you know, node index document, and at a certain level that you want to render different level of detail, you just check that node index document to say, is it good enough to render for the screen resolution that I have right now? If yes, you just display or request content for that level of detail. If not, you just send down to 3. So very much easily repeatable pattern and usage format that makes it very scalable, in that you can have, you know, hundreds of thousands of buildings, millions of buildings, really, and very large meshes that cover, you know, the Earth, typically. I3S has, in the get-go, from the original version of I3S, introduced minimum bounding spheres for bounding volume criteria, but then the second iteration, or when we updated, we added OBBs, oriented bounding box, for better shape. So the graphics that you see here is, you know, with OBBs, you have more tighter control of what you're requesting and culling, whereas those MBS, you can have a little bit more data than you need to render. You know, both are approximation of content and what you need to draw. So the format allows you to define multiple bounding volume criteria that allows you to either sacrifice performance or ease of use. So, you know, minimum bounded spheres are very optimal for, you know, it's easy to use, just as long as it's bound within that sphere, you can use. Whereas when you go on this slide, on the slide to the right, you are actually more conservative in what you're fetching. In other words, you don't fetch buildings that are not required, as you do when you're using MBS, as, for example, in OBB case, where you're more tighter in your bounding volume. So the current version of, if I may go back, the current version of I3S supports MBS and OBB, and in the future, other more compact forms like ConvexL maybe could be supported. But again, in trying to balance, you know, ease of use and optimality at the same time. So what are the different layer types that are defined in I3S? 3D object, this is 3D object layer type that we call is, this is typical 3D objects that you'd see in cityscapes, you know, buildings, cars, whatever features that you can associate with. Such type of data could be imported from all different sources, OBJs, 3DS, Collada, you know, whatever format it is, could be imported into the system, and they belong to a profile called mesh pyramids. I3S kind of introduces this profile concept where layers that have similar behavior are grouped into one profile, and we will add, or we will propose to the community, adding more profiles in the future when it is significantly different than current access patterns and usage. So the other one, very similar to the 3D objects, is integrated mesh, which is skin of the Earth data type that covers the whole entire area. It's typically collected from photogrammetric or drone technology, and structure from motion is usually employed to just generate the meshes from imagery. The others, point and point cloud, are also well used and understood in GIS. So these are the four layer types that are currently supported in I3S. Now, again, as I said, I3S is you know, evolving, mature standard, but it is also evolving. So OGC communities are working on adapting the I3S point cloud scene layer as part of OGC 1.1. These three are part of 1.0, and 1.1 will bring in the point cloud scene layer, which is a process going on right now as we speak. But then there's more types. Building scene layer that has been introduced last year in the GitHub community version is also a specific type of pattern. Actually, this should be building, even though it looks very similar to mesh pyramids. It's a different profile type because it can have points, point cloud, and mesh pyramids also in it, a building layer. And we'll show a little bit example of that. An example of this 3D object layer, this is city of San Francisco, 100,000 buildings. I'll also show you a live demo with textured buildings that have really high resolution data. Data is provided by a content provider. PLW in this case. So very high resolution content, but scalable. The key points that I want you to take away is, you know, bounding volume hierarchy and multi-LOD, multi-level of detail is really central to the specification. You might not notice, but, you know, as you zoom in and zoom out, you know, multiple levels of details are displayed and are swapping out. And that kind of gives you this illusion that you're looking at this continuous mesh or continuous data, but also very efficient to load on mobile systems, the browser, and also desktop. The second layer, its cousin, three integrated mesh layer, is the data that covers, we call it skin of the earth type of data, because it covers everything, you know, the trees, the church. This is the data for Marseille from context capture. You know, covers a lot of everything is captured, really, in that scene. And very similar kind of, you know, traversal pattern, mesh pyramid as it belongs to the mesh pyramid profile, and is very related to 3D objects. Now, the only difference between this one and 3D objects, really, is that the mesh segmentation information is not available here. In other words, you don't know what range of triangles occupy this basilica, as opposed to in 3D objects, each object is a feature. So you do know, you know, the mesh range as associated with that, so that you can associate it with attribute or tabular information. Point cloud, LiDAR sources, both aerial and as well as terrestrial are supported. Massive amounts of point cloud data can be captured and built into this system, and could be displayed also again web, desktop, and browser. And I'll show you the actual live demo. Here's one concept that I want you to take a look. This is a building scene layer, and it will look back, and you'll, if you didn't catch it, you'll see what is going on here. So imagine again taking the city of San Francisco, and on top of one building, put another city of San Francisco on it. So the idea here is that really when with the building scene layer, you're dealing with scale. Because you see, so it zooms out, this is San Francisco, and we picked one of the buildings, and then I'm zooming in, the same data, kind of, you know, shrunk into scale, is put here. And the idea here we want to communicate is that with building scene layer, really the kind of resolution and content that you have is, you know, the doorknobs and the telephones and things that are really high detail are captured with a building scene layer. But people want to visualize it in the context of a building, not just the objects that themselves in an empty scene, but, you know, with the context, with the terrain and background and whatnot. So that's the building scene layer that is now available in the I3S GitHub version, but not yet in OGC, soon to be, hopefully. That would allow you to do this kind of visualization. All right, moving on. We're doing for time. Let's talk a little bit about the data structure, how data is organized, the physical organization of data within a node. I'm sorry, I don't know if you can see it, but I'll read it. Well, you'll get the slides anyway. So in I3S, this node index document is really central to the data organization. This document actually contains the LOD selection criteria. Basically, the metric that you'd use to switch to a different node is defined in here. This is one metric that we have, maximum screen threshold. Basically, it's the size in pixels, and you'd say, if it is bigger than this pixel, you know, this projected size, this value that I get in here, depending on what you're using, if it is MBS, you take the diameter of that MBS. If it is bigger than what I have on the screen, then I'll go ahead and render it. But if not, I'll go ahead and descend down and get its children. And the children are also listed in here. Eight children are, you know, referenced by the parent node. So that's how the traversal continues. Now, only when you are ready, as I said earlier, that you'd fetch the data for geometry data, or only when it is appropriate to display it at that level of detail. Same for texture data or any attribute or tabular information found. The attribute data, geometry data, as well as texture are all binary, obviously for performance and optimization reason. And whereas, you know, for example, feature data that describes the feature segmentation information is also present in this document. Now, for optimality, we also include the mesh segmentation information with the geometry data, so that when you get a geometry, not only will you be able to, you know, display the vertices of the triangles, but also you'd know the range of triangles that occupy a certain feature annotated by its ID. Let me go on to the next slide. So here's a quick layout of what the geometry layout of a mesh pyramid 3D object looks like. Remember what I talked about, being able to segment the mesh, So if you can think of that, this really represents features, feature one to n, and one feature really would occupy or would have this sort of format. Vertices are obviously this, laid out x, y, z. If it has normals are present, as well as texture coordinates if it is a texture data. Regions are like sub-texture data information that you use to have texture atlas, for example, defining many features. Now, in the geometry, one single geometry actually could occupy many, many, many features. So it could have like, depending on the capacity. So this is like really left to the data cooker that builds that content to organize the data into batchable or, easily streamable content so that the texture is not too big. So I've been told I have 5 minutes. So the data is organized like this. Again, you'll get more information in that. Segmentation information, as I said, is occupied in the latter parts of the binary geometry data. Again, this is an improvement. The 1.7 version of i3s has introduced a page index node, which is compacting of the nodes into this page node that would allow you to request thousands of nodes at once as opposed to one-to-one, just to reduce the back and forth server client traffic. Texture also. Now, another thing that we introduced here in the geometry buffer is additional Draco compression. Draco compression is more optimal to reduce the binary geometry data. So that one is introduced in the version 1.7 as well. Point clouds in there, I'll go briefly about this, is again going through the adoption process in OGC. All the information would be available here. We introduced a new compression, again, Apache 2.0 on the public, both the compression implementation, both in C++ and JavaScript. Decompressors that are provided helps to really minimize the size of the data. So I'm going to fly through some of the slides. I3S layer can be presented into a package. This is the package representation of I3S called SLPK, where content could be organized for exchange. It's one file that you can actually share, as well as it could be a service that was displayed in earlier slides. Here are some examples of data. A Netherlands HN1, HN3 LiDAR survey for point cloud, 638 billion points, really, captured as a single I3S SLPK. That's probably the largest one that we've cooked. Texture buildings, the ones that I showed you for San Francisco. So let me switch back to the demos and 4 minutes. let's see what we have.
Something like that.
The links are here for the GitHub link for the source, as well as LibC source and documentation. Let me just quickly show you what I was talking about. So here's the city of San Francisco, the same data that, very performant actually, and you'll notice that it's swapping through different levels of details connected just to the Wi-Fi network here. And we, not only would you be able to do that, but also be able to actually select and identify an object. This is for 3D objects that have the mesh segmentation information. Integrated mesh layer type. That is covers vast area. This is from a company called NearMap for New York City. Again, covers large amounts of area. No mesh segmentation information in here, but I know you're able to capture large amounts of area with ease and represented in this format. And then this is the Netherlands HN3 that I was talking about. A very large collection of point cloud data covering the entire country, and again captured as an I3S layer. Lastly, this is a new building layer that I was talking about that we have introduced, not yet an OGC standard, but is going through the process. And here, typically what people do is they want to reveal different layers. So for example, I'm interested on level 3 only, and then I'm also interested only in the stairs. For example, I'm a structural engineer, and I would like to see the stairs. So in that case, you can actually go ahead and say exclude. You can plant this planes, basically planes that allows you to sort of like slice through it. And you see, when I slice through it, the whole building disappeared, and I can play through that. But what I can also do is I can exclude certain features. For example, I can say the stairs are excluded. So when I'm zooming through here, you'll see the stairs stay there. So this is the building scene layer that we have. And maybe while we do questions, let me put this. I wanted to show you the same content really on the phone that because iTrace actually works both on desktop, mobile, and just using the phone right here. Let me open up. And same data, same resources that I was showing you here can also be consumed in the native application or browser. You can switch back to the browser and be able to do it.
It's just on time.
Just on time. All right, so this is iTrace. So I hope you got a little bit more.
Okay, thank you very much, Tarmat, for this great presentation. So are there any questions regarding i3s? So here we have one.
Hi, quick question. So you mentioned it's an open standard. Are there any other implementations of i3s other than the one you have, A, on the server side, and B, on the representation side?
Where is Mello? Mello's right there, actually. Mello actually also has an implementation of i3s that they can consume, correct? And on the server side, really, there is no requirement for the server. You can put the i3s standard behind an HTTP server and stream it. And the Esri ArcGIS server is, first class citizen that you can use it, but there is no
And repeat the question, right?
or he used the mic, right?
So to answer the question, there is no requirement having an Esri product, for example, to be the back end. You can put the i3s content behind an HTTP server. And in fact, actually, in the specification, you'll see how, let me go and show you real here. Oh, I'm not connected. Oops, sorry. Yeah, in the specification, you'll see how. You can lay out. How you can lay out the. If you go to here, format, and the index format, it shows you at the bottom. Actually, just use the table right here. i3s. Just go to the bottom, actually, find it easier. Just search for like a store, actually, data stores, and then you'll be able to see how you can lay it out onto your own HTTP server to be able to consume it. SLPK persistency here, sorry. So you're not required to have any, commercial, for example, software behind it. You can lay it out as you want. So the other question is to create it. What are the sources? So I didn't get to this last data, but here are the slide. Here are about a dozen or so data providers that are creating it. Bentley, Nearmap, Agisop, all this, data providers are actually providing i3s. The key with i3s is really having that multi-LOD data representation, and typically a lot of people would have just a single LOD, for example, from 3DS or OBJ. In that case, for example, in the case of Esri, we provide a tool that builds this multi-LOD data from a single LOD. But if you already have that, which is the case with most of this data providers, they already build multi-LOD representation for mesh data, they can just pour it down to that. So right now, commercial products that would allow you to create this i3s content if you don't have the multi-LOD representation. But if you already have it, you can just pour it down into the specification like these guys are doing, most of these guys. They are not using any Esri software to do that.
Is there any...
The mic.
Okay, just to repeat it.
Okay.
Is there any future tie-ins between this and your new joint venture at Autodesk?
The question is there any tie-in between this and your venture with Autodesk? The building scene layer, actually. So when you use the Esri stack to create a building scene layer, Revit, for example, is a source file. Now, if you are creating a building scene layer outside of that and you have, IFC, for example, is another format that can capture this, there is no sort of, requirement on that particular format. It's just the current implementation that we have uses Revit from Autodesk. And we'll probably have more, more growth into that area, directly consuming it back and forth, the i3s in Autodesk and their content, reality capture in ours. But again, the format is agnostic about the input data source. It does not know about it.
We have time for a very short question over there.
Sure.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And what
what kind of operation you are trying to optimize with i3, and so just rendering or any kind of 3D spatial operation like a spatial drawing or something like that?
Okay, good question. So the question is, what is really the goal of i3S? I mean, what are you trying to solve? Is it just rendering, or is there also some analytical process, spatial operation that you are trying to target? i3S originally was designed to, you know, for a visualization purpose, because again, there aren't that many formats and standards. Really, the ones I know is 3D tiles and i3S that could allow you to stream massive amount of mesh data. But then immediately, you know, as soon as that is kind of resolved, that issue is solved, people really want to do also analysis. They want to be able to do line of sight, you know, 3D domes and all that, which the format does not preclude, but it does not actively kind of right now does not promote. But I think that's more like an application side. You know, applications can add analytical capabilities. And we have started doing that with desktop application and probably move it to the web solution as well soon. All right. We're over time, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Tamrat, again. Cool. So we will start again at 15 sharp.